Do you have a heart for working? Brother Anthony Morris, a member of the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses, will now present it to us.
First of all, it's my privilege to bring the warm love and greetings of the entire United States Bethel family and the rest of the governing body to all of you here. And with that big screen, I'm going to have to be real careful. I can see that. Now, since this is a special convention, in fact, it's the second of seven special conventions this year, just a couple things I wanted to pass on to you. I think, especially you delegates, I think you'll agree with me. The wise man said, sweet is the sleep of the one serving. So our Irish brothers and sisters must certainly be enjoying some sweet sleep these past few days, and we thank you for your genuine, warm hospitality. It's touched us deeply. Now, you already know that the program's overtime, so if there's any time Nazis, forgive me, we still have to cover what we have to cover. My watch, by the way, has got more minutes than this one, so maybe the chairman can fix that thing tomorrow. We do want to mention this to you. Last week, the Friday of the conventions, those that were holding them in various countries announced something that you may have heard, you may not have heard. It is on the website now. That the European Court of Human Rights finally settled. Now, last year we announced that we had won the case, but the France government wasn't moved to give us back our money and take the lien off the property. So we've been going on an additional year. And finally, the European Court directed the government of France give them their 4.5 million euros with interest and settle this thing, plus 55,000 euros in attorney's fees. This is over 15 years. So it just should teach governments, don't take on the Almighty. You're not going to win that one ever. Now, the theme of our talk is interesting. Do you have a heart for working? We counsel brothers in this organization to not overuse personal pronouns, because if I keep saying you, and it's like pointing the finger, giving the impression that it doesn't mean me, that this is you that needs this counsel. However, in this case, the very theme, in the form of a question, do you have a heart for working, contains that personal pronoun. So in preparing to deliver the talk, I've had my opportunity to personally answer that question. So now it's your turn. So don't take it as coming across as finger-pointing. Jehovah wants you to examine your attitude. Do you have a heart for working? Now, the account of Nehemiah, an ancient account, shows us what can be accomplished when we safeguard our heart for the work that Jehovah God has given us. Just to give you a quick summary of some of the history, most of you remember this, but we do have visitors. In 607, before the Common Era, the nation of Israel was destroyed. Jerusalem was overcome and conquered by the Babylonians. Now, about 70 years later, 537 BCE, before the Common Era, the Jews were restored to their homeland. Now, some 82 years, thereabouts 455 before the Common Era. The temple at this time has been rebuilt, but the walls around Jerusalem are still laying in ruins. So, was it the project that's nearly 3 miles of wall going around there, did that overwhelm them? Well, the Bible doesn't specify, but we pick up the account here in Nehemiah. Please take your Bible, and just we'll highlight quickly and lead to this verse that we want to make particular emphasis with. Nehemiah chapter 2, just to highlight what happened. The Jews are experiencing opposition. The nations around them are deriding them. And word gets to Nehemiah, who's in the king's court, highly respected, appreciated by the king. And the king notices in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2, that he's gloomy. And this is unusual, obviously, for Nehemiah. And he recognizes this is a gloominess of heart. So why are you depressed? But it made him a little nervous, but the king, appreciating him, and of course this is Jehovah's Spirit operating on all of this, obviously, allows him to go back to his homeland and to do what he can to help things get going there. So he inspects the walls, Nehemiah, when he gets there. Now notice chapter 2, later in the chapter, verse 17, and it proves to you, so any of you that think you don't matter, the courage and zeal of one person can make an incredible difference. And so if you're real zealous where you're serving your delegates, maybe you might think about serving here in Ireland where the need is great and make a difference. Especially if you're working your home territory over and over. I mean, unless I was chained to such an area, I can't comprehend that. I'd be on my way so fast to places like this to preach. Well, anyway, look what he does here. Verse 17. You are seeing the bad plight in which we are, how Jerusalem is devastated and its gates have been burned with fire. Come and let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer continue to be a reproach. See, Jehovah's name is reproached. This is something that's intolerable for this magnificent person, Nehemiah. And he went on to tell him in verse 18 of the hand of his God had been on him. So he says later in the verse, let's get up and we must build. Well, what was the impact? They were strengthened because of his zeal, because of his courage. Well, the opposition wasn't very pleased with this presence of Nehemiah. Turn over to chapter 4 in Nehemiah. And these are similar to some of the things that we hear from opposers in our territories that we serve in. And we notice later on in Nehemiah 4, verse 2, they're saying, what are the feeble Jews doing? Will they depend upon themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they bring the stones to life out of the heaps of dusty rubbish when they are burned? Mocking. Who do they think they are? Tobiah, who's a real idiot, lack of a better word. We all live amongst some idiots in our life in these last days. The Jews had it here with him. And notice what he states in the latter part of verse 3. Even what they are building, if a fox went up against it, he'd certainly break down their wall of stones. Well, because of the influence of Nehemiah, God's Spirit, the zeal, Jehovah's blessing on him, notice verse 6. Let's read it together in chapter 4. So we kept building the wall, and the entire wall came to be joined together, clear to half its height, and the people continued to have a heart for working. See, hence the question in our theme, do you have a heart for working? The lesson in all of this is they finished this in 52 days. They proved they had a heart for working. We likewise have a building work. It's a far beyond 52-day project. But it's a spiritual work, making disciples. The work is urgent. So we ask you, should we be discouraged because only one out of a thousand is a witness? Does having to face apathy, opposition, or the prevalence of fleshly thinking make you weary? It need not. If we, too, safeguard our heart for working, we can fully accomplish our ministry. Now think about some of the demonstrations we saw this morning regarding where your heart is in the symposium. And turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. And we're after just the latter part of this verse that we'll look at here. Because Christ Jesus, who's in charge of this work, and certainly Jehovah God, keeping his watchful eye on it, wants to make sure we have the message here. And you notice in the demonstration this morning, the brothers talking about football. Well, it's not a sin to talk about football, but obviously in the poor demonstration, the poor example, where was their heart? And then, of course, the contrast was shown. A lot to think about there. So, here in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 34, the last sentence here, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So when we go into ministry, is it just routine? I got to get some time in, the group overseer be calling. Or is our heart in our work? That's a personal question. Jehovah already knows, but that doesn't mean you're condemned to not have your heart in the work. It just means you need to apply the counsel. Put your heart in the work. There's not much time left. Whether you're at home, at school, at work, with unbelieving relatives, in the ministry, help others to learn and perhaps accept the good news from Jehovah God. Now, just like in Nehemiah's day, they had the right tools to accomplish the work on the wall. We have been provided the right tools. You look back here in recent history to help us accomplish our spiritual building work. 2005, the book, What Does the Bible Really Teach?, was released. It was written in a style that reaches the student's heart, and it's still our primary publication around the world, and certainly it's been a real boon to the spiritual construction work. However, the governing body listens carefully. We do zone work, and we receive reports from branch committees, and we've noticed that many were asking for something simple before the teach book, especially in some territories, that would attract people to the truth and could be used to lead them into the Bible teach book. So that's why we started January 2011 in the public edition of the Watchtower, that series, Learn from God's Word, remember? So we featured it in the Kingdom Ministry to show you or have it demonstrated on how we should use that, even with doorstep studies. Now perhaps you're like some who put their heart into the work, you prayed for a Bible study, but you're disappointed because you don't have one. Well, don't let that cause you to lose heart for the work. Don't stop praying about having your own Bible study. We meet many people. We were out in the ministry this week here in Dublin area. They're trampled down. The one apartment complex, condominium, whatever we're calling them here in Ireland, as you go in, all six of the first units there, those apartments there, haven't been lived in since they were built. And many are what they call underwater with their mortgage and such. Well, I'm not telling you anything you don't know living here in Ireland. So many are trampled down. They need spiritual help. They're living complicated, busy lives. We are really the only ones that have any genuine good news for them. And we need to do our best to help them. So it's a pleasure to announce the release of a new tool for use in our ministry. It's entitled Good News from God. sake of the interpreters, we'll stick close with what we told them earlier. This is a simple overview of basic Bible teachings. And it's replacing the brochure, What Does God Require of Us? And it's going to be published in over 400 languages. That's incredible. The branches are thirsting for it, glad to have it. It's going to be available here in English as well as the other languages here that are participating in the other parts of the venue here. And a nice surprise for you, it's also being released here in the Irish language. And it's similar to the Learn from God's Word articles. That's how it's been constructed to be able to be used. So what are they going to learn? What is the student going to learn? Well, I'll put the Irish one down and use the English one here before I make a fool of myself. It has 15 lessons, the brochure. The early lessons are ones such as, what is the good news? Who is God? Is the good news really from God? And they're written to help the students feel they're learning from the Bible itself. So we'll give you an idea of how to demonstrate it. Colorful artwork as usual that we have, and it's trying to get them to reason on the scriptures. On the back cover, and I really love this feature, we have little thumbnail sketches of what appears inside here. So all these lessons that you'll go over with them, they're all right on the back here. So a little thumbnail picturing with the question, what is the good news of God, all the way through these lessons. So it's a very simple thing to do, and this you can even do at the doorstep. And remember, we're not just preaching the good news and handing out literature, even though it's the best literature on the planet. We're teachers. So the way we want you to do this is as follows. You show the individual the back here, and you pick one of those that interests you. And then keep your mouth shut. Some people take a little longer to think, especially if they're older. Stay quiet. We know you can do it. Some people make you wonder, do they talk while they sleep? Good Lord. So stay quiet. They pick the lesson. So you go to that lesson because this is what they're interested in. And then you simply read the question, read the paragraph, see? Read the read scripture, reason with them some, ask them the question, and stay quiet. Now you're teaching. See, now you're giving Jehovah that opportunity with His Spirit to touch their heart. Listen to Him. So you can't learn anything while your mouth is moving. Because if it's moving, it's something you already know. And when we're teaching people and their life is at stake, not a light matter. We want to teach them the good news. It's very easy. And then you make the call whenever you want to switch to the Bible Teach book. You can do it at any point in this brochure. So very, very excited about it being used in the field all over the world. Now we also want with our heart to help people see who are really doing God's will. And we want to work hard in our spiritual building where we can not just hand out literature, as I mentioned. And maybe you've had this experience, and it's not to criticize, it's just to upgrade us if we have missed this point in the past. They diligently study with someone, but they can't get them to the meeting. Well, we don't want you to lose a heart for the Word, but we do have just what you need to give them the best opportunity that they'll have to get to the meeting. It's another new tool that is being released at this convention, Who Are Doing God's Will, Jehovah's Will, Today. Now this is a marvelous tool. It's replacing the brochure, Jehovah's Witnesses, Who Are They, What Do They Believe? And it's going to be published in over 300 languages. So you see how serious we are about using it. And what we want you to do is at the end of your study in either the brochure or the Bible Teach book, introduce them to this brochure. 5 to 10 minutes, you do a lesson. Now, this is not new. We were doing this decades ago, and we wanted it to be done with Jehovah's Witnesses, Who Are They, What Do They Believe? But it got forgotten. We know it. We go around the world. You wonder, well, why can't they get them to a meeting? Well, they forgot to use the tool. If this was done with you and you still made it in the truth, well, thank God. But don't imitate what was done with you. Please, use this tool. 5 to 10 minutes at the end of the lesson and use it. Some of the points that are brought out, 28 one-page lessons. What sort of people are Jehovah's Witnesses? What will you experience at our Christian meetings? Who's the faithful and discreet slave class? And it'll familiarize the students with the people here. And what we've done with it, we have pictures here from over 50 countries. So under each picture, as you look in it or near it, you'll find out where they are. I'm looking at one here, Malawi. So very quickly, they could just be going through it here and see Peru, Hong Kong, Spain. All of a sudden, they quickly grasp, this is international. Now, I know you have it in Ireland like they have it in other countries. There are still a lot of people think this is just a religion in your country. They have no idea of the international scope. With this tool, very hard to miss the point. So it'll be very easy to use it. You take, for example, lesson 2 that you'll be able to look at shortly. Why are we called Jehovah's Witnesses? See, this might be simple to you, but they've heard all sorts of maligning lies. They have no idea. And so it describes our mission that we're imitating Christ Jesus. Another feature you'll like very much, let me give you 2 lessons here. Lesson 5, we have these boxes at certain points, and they're entitled Find Out More. And look how wise this is. Here in Lesson 5, what will you experience at our Christian meetings? Because mind you, a lot of them are frightened to come. The things they've heard that goes on at these meetings, they don't always tell us. But they all this stuff that... I remember serving down south in the United States and North Carolina. There were people in that part of the state we were in who did tell me, they said, yeah, we know you go in the cemeteries at night, dig up bodies and take them into your meetings. You can't make this stuff up. So with a tool like this, they find out very quickly that's a lie. So find out more. If you'd like to see inside the local Kingdom Hall before you attend one of our meetings, ask one of Jehovah's Witnesses to take you there and show you around. That really works. Did you catch that? They didn't go to the meeting. They went when there wasn't a meeting going on and you showed them around. See? Very effective. But it prompts them to think about that. And then lesson 17, we have a Find Out More box as well. This is a very effective one, we're convinced. How do traveling overseers help us? See, they're long into the brochure by now. Find out more. Mark on your calendar the dates of the circuit overseer's next visit to the congregation so that you'll not miss his talks at the Kingdom Hall. If you'd like him or his wife to attend your Bible study that week so that you can get acquainted, let your teacher know. Isn't that priceless? See, so it gets him moving, very much involved with the organization right away. So this brochure, we're convinced, is going to really help draw people to Jehovah's organization. So let me ask you, brothers, do you have a heart for working with these 2 new tools in your spiritual building work? appreciation is genuine and it's deeply appreciated. So get a copy, because tomorrow morning's program, be here in time for it, it's going to give us some ideas of how to use these brochures here. So continue showing that you have a heart for working. Nehemiah's heart was zealous for true worship. Something for you to think about, especially with the need being so great here in Ireland. Nehemiah left a prominent position, sacrificed a comfortable lifestyle, courageously moved to Jerusalem, where he took up a difficult work. See, do we have that sort of spirit? He toiled long and hard at his task, and he did not allow himself to be sidetracked. See, a lot to think about. So let us have a determined spirit, as Nehemiah did, pursue spiritual goals with zeal and self-sacrifice, strengthen your heart so that you can stay focused on the disciple-making work. Always remember, Satan's goal back in Nehemiah's day has not changed. It's the same goal. He wants to stop our work, and he's going to be a miserable failure. He's yet to see the hopefully millions more that'll take Jehovah's side before the great tribulation breaks out. So may we continue to have a heart for working, stick to the urgent task of sharing the good news from God, and help others to see who really are doing God's will today.